The last round of base realignments and closures, or BRAC, back in 2005 did some good. Many of the bases were repurposed and used to help the homeless. But BRAC had problems, too, as outlined in a new report from the Government Accountability Office. DOD and Housing and Urban Development don't track progress on base conversions very well. It's a concern as the Defense Department raises the urgency of its request for a new round of closures. For more, we turn to Brian Lepore. He is the Director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at the GAO. Brian, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I'm surprised that there's anything left to look at 10 years later after the BRAC.
Well, you know, it's a good question, Tom. Closing a military base is a very complicated and, in some cases, expensive exercise, and it takes several years to do it. And after the base is closed, there are still some redevelopment activities that take place, including providing assistance to the homeless. So it's really a multi-year and very complicated process.
Now, just to put this in perspective, let's say, just for purposes of analogy, 1,000 acres of bases were to be closed. I know it's much more than that. How many of those acres were, out of 1,000, were designated for use by homeless facilities?
Well, the way the process works, actually, is once the redevelopment authority has been identified and recognized, they develop a redevelopment plan. As part of that plan, they are required to reach out to homeless assistance providers in the local community. Those providers then have an opportunity to express an interest in the property. So it isn't necessarily that there's a certain amount set aside, but rather the local homeless assistance provider visits the base and will decide something they think they want to take possession of.
But the local redevelopment authority could do anything it wanted, in theory, as long as it would take the property off the hands of the government?
In some senses, yes, but the way the process is intended to work, once the local redevelopment authority actually develops its plan, that plan gets submitted to the Department of Housing and Urban Development for review. As part of that review process and as part of that plan, whatever the assistance is going to be for the local homeless assistance provider, that's in the plan, and then HUD will make a determination whether that is an acceptable use of the property for purposes of homeless assistance. So there's an oversight process that the federal government has in place.
And these local redevelopment authorities, these are local governments and local government entities, say state or county, where the base happens to be?
Typically, it's an instrumentality of whatever state is in play or the locality, and the makeup of the redevelopment authority can really be pretty much anything, although it's typically going to be local and state government officials, probably business leaders in the community, thought leaders in the community, and they're going to vary from one place to another based on the character of the community and the location where it's placed.
Well, I mean, in theory, if they wanted to put up a racetrack or luxury townhomes or a amusement park, could they also do that, or does it have to have some housing and homeless and low-income related part to the redevelopment?
In theory, they could do that, and all of that would be included in the local redevelopment plan that would be submitted to HUD. What HUD is really going to be looking at, among other things, though, is does that plan have a provision for homeless assistance in those locations where a homeless assistance provider expressed an interest. And let me say one more thing about that, if I might. In some locations, there were no homeless assistance providers. Some of these bases that were closed in BRAC 2005 are in very remote locations, and there is no homeless assistance provider there. In those cases, no one would express an interest in providing services to homeless assistance, and then HUD would approve the plan. So it really varies. But yes, you're right. In theory, the local redevelopment authority could use the base for almost anything it wants, but there is that oversight function. The government is going to take a look at that.
So in practice, then, if a base to be closed is 3 miles from central Detroit, likely there's going to be some homeless assistance component to it.
Very likely, or at least there will be presumably an expression of interest from a local homeless assistance provider. And that's kind of the point, I think, that we're trying to make in the report. There are several players in the process, but at the local level, it's the local redevelopment authority and the homeless assistance providers working together to identify, to answer the question, is there any facility on the installation that could be helpful in the provision of homeless assistance in that community?
All right, so your report has looked at what seems to be a lack of visibility from the DOD HUD level down through the provider of homeless services, and there's several layers involved here. What did you find?
Yeah, we found a couple of things, actually. You know, and if I could preface this by saying this, closing military bases is not a common process. We don't do it all the time. And homeless assistance providers in communities where a base closed, they're doing this for the first time, because once the base is open, until it's closed, once it's closed, now all of a sudden the homeless assistance providers are thrown into a process they're unfamiliar with. And so what we found was the homeless assistance providers sometimes did not have good information on what was on the base that could be useful for them. They did not have good information on what they should put into their notice of interest. And we even found circumstances where there's an agreement that takes place between the local redevelopment authority and the homeless assistance provider. Some of those were unsigned. So the point here is that the local homeless assistance providers were working in an environment that they really weren't familiar with, because we don't close military bases very often.
And so they could walk onto a base and find it totally unsuitable for use by homeless providers, or maybe there's a lot of abandoned housing there that would be perfect for them.
Many different types of things. Another example is a warehouse. As an example, at the General Mitchell Air Reserve Base in Milwaukee, the homeless assistance provider found a warehouse on the installation. It's 56,000 square feet. They expressed an interest in that, and the local redevelopment authority provided it as a no-cost conveyance, and the provider is using that warehouse to store emergency food, and they're using it for staff offices. So it could be any number of different types of facilities on the installation.
And so you said that HUD and basically HUD, but also DOD, don't really track what goes on and whether the intended use actually took place down the line.
Yeah, that's an important point, because the point here is that under the statute, the homeless assistance provider signs a legally binding agreement legally binding agreement with the local redevelopment authority. They're supposed to then use the property in the manner in which they had agreed to use it. If they don't do that, then the property is intended to revert back to the local redevelopment authority. So the LRAs actually have an incentive to try to know what's going on. Looking forward, we made the recommendation that HUD and DOD ought to start tracking this. Why? Because in the event of a future BRAC round, one would want to know, was what we were doing in the past working, and if it wasn't, what changes should be made? So that's actually a recommendation we made, but it was intended to get set up for any future BRAC round that Congress might authorize.
We're speaking with Brian Lepore. He's the Director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at the GAO. Now, so far, Congress has been reluctant to approve any kind of a BRAC, but the pressure, I guess, from the military, if you can call it that, is definitely heating up. So this sounds like a pre-lesson learned for if there is a next time around.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, Tom. You know, we've actually done about 30 reports on BRAC 2005, or the BRAC process more generally, and we've made a whole host of recommendations, many of which were intended to try and improve the BRAC process itself, things like improving the cost estimating so we don't see these very significant cost increases on implementing these recommendations that we saw in 2005. We've made recommendations on enhancing the ability of the BRAC Commission to do its review of the recommendations themselves. We've got a pretty mixed record. DOD has tended to be to partially concur, or in many cases non-concur, with many of those recommendations to try and improve the process.
Now, if you look at the bases locally, like if you go to Fort McNair or Fort Meade, the facilities at those places are really well tended. The floors are shiny. The plumbing is new. I mean, they really look nice. Is that the case at all the bases throughout the country? If you get out to the middle of nowhere, say in North Dakota or something, might you find a little bit more disrepair and rambling type of quality to some of the older facilities?
We've done a lot of work in that area. That's called sustainment, which is another way of saying maintenance of the facilities. And over the years, what we have found is that there has tended to be, across the board, in many cases, of underfunding of what the sustainment requirement would be. That becomes a problem, because over time, as facilities deteriorate, they start to not be in good working order. There can be implications for the readiness, since the bases have a purpose. There can be implications for life, health, and safety of service members and their families, and there can even be quality of life issues. But it really can vary widely from one base to another.
And it could also affect the ability to transfer to a local redevelopment authority without having to incur costs to fix it up so it's conveyable.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. We did a report a couple of years ago where we looked at how local communities actually fared after they had their base closed. One of the things the communities talked to us about, and we did go out and talk to many communities, one of the things they told us was when the facilities were turned over to the local redevelopment authority, in many cases they were not in good working order, at least some of them were not, and the local redevelopment authority, the local community, the state, had to actually invest some money to bring those facilities up to a point where they really could be redeveloped. So I think it's a great point.
It's like getting an old piano somebody gives you and half the keys don't work. It may cost you more than the moving costs to get it fixed up to be playable.
And it's not going to sound very good when you try to play it unless you do that.
Have there been cases where the local redevelopment authorities have said thanks but no thanks and walk away from the giveaway?
We have not actually looked at that. I am not aware that that has happened. You know, and if you really think about it, a military base is a major real property asset. It's going to have things like family housing on it. It's going to have retail establishments, a commissary and a post exchange, which is like a department store. It's going to have recreational facilities, a golf course. There may be ball fields. There's vehicle maintenance facilities, a whole host of real property assets. And with a good redevelopment plan, what we found when we looked at how communities fared, the communities tended to do okay, but it did take some effort to really think about what do we want to do with the base, let's have a good plan and bring it to fruition. But communities that have experienced base closure have tended to do okay, but I think it is because they had a good plan and they did an effective job of redeveloping the installation.
All right, so just finishing up with the specific issue here, which is whether there's visibility into the use of these former military facilities as homeless centers. What is it you're recommending there, that there's a little bit more oversight?
Yeah, we made a recommendation that goes to both DOD and to HUD, and the reason is the two agencies have promulgated a joint regulation. Basically, what we said is that during the period when DOD continues to have the property, because after the base is authorized for closure, it takes 6 years to actually do it, during that up to six-year period, DOD continues, or the military service continues to have possession of the base. However, the redevelopment plan is underway. We recommended monitoring by DOD at that point, at least until the point it gets turned over to the local redevelopment authority. We recommended that HUD continue to monitor as well so that we have a sense, are these properties being used in accordance with the homeless assistance plan? If they're not, then in theory it should get turned back over to the local redevelopment authority. And more importantly, perhaps, it gives DOD and HUD a sense of whether what they're doing is working to better position them to carry this out effectively in the event of a future BRAC round.
And just a question, a wild card question. Have any bases that you know of been turned into country clubs?
I do not know the answer to that, but given that there are golf courses...
Well, that was my thought, yeah.
Yeah, given that there are golf courses on many of these installations, that's not terribly far-fetched, although we haven't actually looked at that.
All right, well, maybe that's your next one. I hope if somebody's hearing. Brian Lepore is the Director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much for joining me.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.